This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Tishiel Eek. So earlier we discussed the importance of integrating a gender-responsive framework into our COVID-19 policies, and that's to prevent us from, you know, setting back gains in gender equality progress. But now in our second story, we are discussing face masks. Mm-hmm. And in relation to that, we have a poll on Twitter running.
Yes, we're asking you, how do you feel about communicating with others while wearing a mask? We have 150 votes so far. It's almost equally split between. So we have 48% saying it's difficult or weird, and we have 52% saying you don't feel any difference. You still have some time to weigh in. Take that poll at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can also WhatsApp us what you think, 018-789-8899. And we're talking about this because I know for me, just walking around, seeing everyone wearing masks, and you have to wear a mask as well because it's just part of the SOPs right now, how different things are when it comes to regular interactions. Like, you know, in a pre-COVID world, it's nothing for you to smile at a cashier at your grocery store, at the security guards in your office building, or when you see your neighbor's children running around the playground. But now, with all of this face mask thing going on, smiling at others is just not an easy thing to do anymore. Nonetheless, I do have to preface this by saying that wearing a face mask is an important step in protecting ourselves from the novel coronavirus. Already more than 50 countries around the world have made it mandatory to wear face masks in public spaces, and that includes countries like Venezuela, Vietnam, Germany and Rwanda, and many other countries, including Malaysia, highly encourages people to don their masks when they're out in public.
Yes, and if we look at Asian countries, it's not uncommon for people to wear face masks even before the pandemic, you know, whether it's due to air pollution, mm-hmm. unfortunately, or because you're feeling under the weather. But with face masks being part of the new normal, as they say, and more people wearing them, you can't help but wonder if they're altering how we interact with the people around us. But you would still hear some common complaints about having to wear face masks. You know, some people find it hard to breathe with a mask on, or they find that it muffles their voice and makes it difficult to hold a conversation, for mm-hmm. example. Others might also find that it makes it more difficult to read the other person's expression because you just can't see half their face. Mm-hmm. According to psychologist Rebecca Brewer from the Royal Holloway University of London, humans tend to process faces as a whole rather than focusing on individual features such as the eyes or the mouth. So when we cannot see the whole face, it sort of disrupts how we perceive the other's expression because we're not used to reading expressions in this manner.
Yes, and as human beings, we have become incredibly attuned to reading the facial expression of others. And according to Charles Darwin, this ability likely developed as an evolutionary advantage, something he wrote about in his 1872 book, The Expression of Emotions in Man and Animals. So learning how to read someone's emotions from their face facilitates social interaction, it reduces misunderstandings, and ultimately it can help a group of people to function more efficiently. Just take our text messages, for example. How often have we sent a text to someone only to have its tone completely misinterpreted? Mm. And that's also why many of us now rely on emojis when texting, because that helps to convey a particular emotion that we would otherwise have been able to express in person.
That's right. But, you know, just going back to facial expressions, the eyes and the mouth offer the most information about what someone is trying to convey, because these are the most expressive regions. So when we're talking to someone face to face, we subconsciously analyze the combined movements of the eyes and the mouth to figure out the emotions underlying what the other person is saying. So each feature can still independently communicate certain emotions well. So for example, we often associate the mouth with feelings of happiness. So you mm-hmm. smile because you want to look approachable and friendly. Mm-hmm. And we've seen how important it is to see a smiling face during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, in many cases, frontline healthcare workers took to sticking pictures of themselves on their PPEs to help patients see a friendly face behind the mask.
Yeah, that's right. So how does wearing a mask affect how we read the facial expression of another person? To get more insights into this, we have on the line with us consultant psychiatrist Dr. Lim Chee Min. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Lim. To start with, you know, when we are communicating with others, how much do we rely on verbal and nonverbal cues in getting our message and emotions across?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, it's being done, and it's been done for ages and ages. I mean, for example, if you were running a helpline center or an emergency call center like the Befrienders, and people are calling up in acute emergencies, mental health emergencies, then, you know, you are relying on what you're told. You're relying on the choice of words. Mm-hmm. You're relying on the rhythm. You're relying on the volume. And you can hear it quite clearly, the emotions behind the person who's speaking it. On top of that, of course, you've got to take a look at a person's posture. And some people are anxious. Mm-hmm. And some people are depressed. And, you know, these are things which you have to pick up. Some people may be looking around very suspiciously. Some people may not be able to meet your eye. They're consciously looking away. And there are all sorts of reasons. It could be a crippling shyness. It could be a depression. It could be an anxiety. And don't forget, in a face-to-face interview with a face mask, you still get everything that you need for context, because you're asking all sorts of questions.
Right.
So in the course of all these things, you will be able to observe everything, because in the same way that the client is observing you and your responses, you're able to respond and observe mm-hmm. behavior, gesture. And again, what people wear can be quite important. Most people dress as well as they can, but in very severe illnesses, people decide that they don't care anymore. And you can see it in both posture and choice of clothing. And that's quite a serious thing, actually. So there are many, many things available. You have context, you have observations, you have the history. And these things count for a lot more than what people think. There's a lot more going on.
So speaking of face mask, you're talking about it in the context of a prolonged interaction, but how would face masks affect how we communicate in more fleeting interactions, such as when we meet strangers, say when we're buying something?
Well, okay. I hope actually this gives rise to more patience. This gives people time to not assume things. Not assume who this person is and what they actually want or what they actually said, and to actually pay a bit more attention. I think in the course of daily activities, I think short interactions, people will behave according to contract. I mean, for example, a person doing restaurant work is expected to do restaurant work and behave accordingly. A customer who is coming to purchase will also behave accordingly. So it becomes a contractual, it becomes more contractual. Maybe it becomes more impersonal. I mean, if there's no time, it will certainly become more impersonal. But if there is more time, I hope people will actually be more patient, think a bit more about what people are actually saying and what they want, behave maybe less impulsively towards other people. I mean, I hope that's the case.
So how do you see these shorter impersonal interactions affecting our interpersonal relationships if we get used to these forms of interactions?
Well, okay, I think there are several things going on. I mean, firstly, hopefully these impersonal interactions will be, it won't be a long-term thing. After all, sooner or later, people won't have to wear their face masks anymore and vaccines will be available, so on and so forth. So I think, or I expect that that's going to happen at some point in time. Then people will be able to go back to not wearing masks and having their normal interactions and being able to see each other's faces. However, I do think that, I mean, in the same way that people can see gestures, posture, clothing, they can hear choice of language, tone mm-hmm. of voice, mm-hmm. and all that, I think they will still be able to communicate really quite well. I hope that's the case, but I also believe that that is the case. So face masks actually might not hamper interpersonal communications as much as people might think.
By wearing face masks, though, it does hamper our ability to convey something with a smile. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, we saw healthcare workers during this pandemic putting a smiling picture of themselves on their PPE so that patients can picture a face behind the mask, especially when everything else is obscured. So despite being able to look at other cues in the body language, there's so much that we can convey with our facial expressions. So how would the wearing of masks affect empathy?
I think that's absolutely right. I think if you were first time coming in for an emergency, like you come into accident emergency in a major hospital, or if that's your first time, then everything is going, I mean, time is at a premium. No one's going to be like waiting around. They're going to be moving as quickly as possible. And under those circumstances, I think looking at a new and new surroundings which are unfamiliar, and then having to deal with worries about one's own acute deterioration in health, I think the whole thing will actually be potentially quite frightening. I think understandably so.
Mm-hmm.
So under those circumstances, I think if you put pictures of yourself on your lapel or on your as a badge or something on your clothes, I think that's a really good thing. I think it allows better empathy. I think in an emergency situation where you don't have time and, you know, people's tone of voice or gesture and all that might be missed, actually. And I think more importantly, clients will actually be actually very, very anxious, very understandably so. Any efforts to, I think, calm down the situation, put clients at ease,
mm-hmm.
will be a good thing. On a day-to-day interaction, I mean, for example, I go and buy newspapers or foods from the lady down the street whom has been a neighborhood for ages, and everyone knows them, then that's a different matter. I mean, you already know them. They know you really well. They actually know what newspapers you want, what fruits you're going to buy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different thing. But if you go into an unfamiliar situation, in what is sort of an emergency type situation, then I think really every effort should be put into bolster empathy and to calm clients down.
So how can we make up for the loss of nonverbal communication, such as not being able, you know, to smile, for example?
I think nonverbal communication become more prominent. So if you are going to emphasize your point or emphasize the idea that you're trying to convey, use your hands a bit more, use facial expressions a bit more, because even though they can only see half the face, they can certainly take a look at the expression in the eyes. I mean, they will know when whether you're angry or when you're smiling if they just look at the eyes, actually. Pay a bit more attention to the tone of voice. Of course, people always pay attention to the choice of words and the posture. And I think it's quite important that people speak up more clearly. Okay, because if you can't see half the face, then I think you should be absolutely sure about what's being spoken. Also, I hope people will be a bit more tolerant and a bit more patient, and not to assume the worst about, you know, what has been communicated. I think that's really important. But to give everyone the benefit of the doubt about good intentions, spend a bit more time. Pay a bit more effort.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts, Dr. Lim. That was consultant psychiatrist Dr. Lim Chee Min sharing some of his insights on how wearing face masks could alter our interactions with the people around us, but also how we can still rely on other nonverbal cues, you know, things like the tone of our voice to the gestures that we make in order to emphasize what we're trying to communicate.
That's right. And communicating with a mask can also pose a major barrier for people with hearing difficulties. You know, for them, reading the other person's lips and facial expressions is an essential part of communicating, even for those who use sign language. In some countries, charities and organizations have come up with solutions to this problem by creating masks that have transparent windows where the mouth
right.
is. Right, very ingenious.
Mm-hmm.
This at least prevents the exclusion of people who rely on lip reading, while also ensuring that they aren't left unprotected against the virus.
Mm.
However, you know, access to these masks are a different matter, and highlights that, you know, discussions on public health measures also need to account for different differently abled communities.
Mm, absolutely. But, you know, on a more general basis, I suppose, we were asking you on Twitter, how do you feel about communicating with others in these times when you have to wear a mask quite often? Still, well, you know, leading just by a little bit, 52.6% of you say you feel no difference, while 47.4% of you find it difficult or weird. So it's interesting, isn't it? Quite a either extreme of the reactions there. Roy Amira says, I like it. No more fake smiles and forced happy face in front of clients.
Oh dear. Ouch.
Vasugi says, at first it was difficult, but now I've gotten used to it. But that does not mean I like it. I hear you, Vasugi. I think for all of us, we're trying to do what's responsible, mm-hmm. What's right. But I don't know if I would ever get used to it. And I'm just waiting for that day when this utopian day when everything is going to be perfect and fine again and I can chuck that face mask.
God, I agree with you. I have so many struggles with it. I think both of us are spectacle wearing individuals.
Oh, yes.
And obviously my spectacles don't fit my face very well. Every time I put on my mask, it just slips off. And it's fallen on grocery store floors. It's fallen down in the most, you know, inopportune moments. And, you know, you've got to scramble and disinfect it. It's just, it's been really quite often.
You need the string thing that hooks your glasses to your hair. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But also the fogging.
Yes. Oh, the fogging has been painful. I mean, every morning when I come into the office, I've panted my way up the stairs and then I'll be just like trying to smile at the guard, but all he can see is my foggy glasses. So I can't even show him my smiling eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
So I make up for it by going, hello.
So Jessica on WhatsApp has an interesting point. She says she feels more comfortable wearing the mask to avoid risk, and she's now scared of those who are not wearing it, and she'll ensure that she stands far away from them. So I think that is changing interactions in a different way, isn't it? Where it's sort of dividing people who wear masks and those who don't. And again, it's perfectly understandable. It's a public health crisis, and you're thinking first and foremost of the risk of transmission. That's it's right. Not because you want to shun them, mm-hmm. But perhaps with all these news reports and conversations around us, everything is about COVID and protecting yourself. That's we've been right. conditioned to think, you know, if you're not wearing a mask, I know it feels alien, but you know, it feels equally alien to see someone not wearing a mask right now.
It's that new normal that they keep talking about. And you glare at them, not that they can see you behind the foggy glasses, but, you know, you're like, why aren't you following SOPs?
Well, is your body language similarly with arms akimbo?
I think that's when that needs to be part of my repertoire. But have you been having difficulties, you know, wearing a mask out and about in public?
It's definitely affected my, just even the casual interactions with a salesperson in the shop, for instance. I am not a big talker, but I just like to convey gratitude and acknowledgement of their help with a smile, which I can't do right now. When I speak, it's muffled and it fogs up my glasses. And again, my twinkling eyes cannot convey it.
It's all foggy. But I have found for me that when the glasses aren't fogged up, you know, I just give an extra smile and it does seem to, you know, it does come through. It does come through. And people do react. You even see their smiling eyes as well. So that's just, you know, like in radio, we're told to smile when we talk as well. So that, I guess that's something that we have to do as well.
And I hope all of you can hear us smiling right now.
Yes, that's right.
You know, if you do have any more thoughts about how mask wearing has affected your communication or your interactions, or perhaps you want to tell us why you actually feel positive about it, do continue to tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. But if you have any thoughts, you know, you can look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture and drop us a message there. If you miss any part of today's shows, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find us on the BFM app and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., it's Front Row with Sharmila Ganesan. And she'll be speaking to Kevin Jay, a comedian, about his recent projects and the state of comedy in Malaysia, while also reimagining what stand-up comedy is in the age of COVID-19 and physical distancing. All tough things for a comedian to do and to tackle with them. But before we head into some an ad break, we're going to leave you with Eddie Vedder. Here's You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. This has been The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.